Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 18th para was recited, which comprises of Suratul Mu'minun, and then followed by Suratul Nur, and then two rukus of Suratul Furqan. The first surah in this para, Suratul Mu'minun, is a Makki surah, and as explained many a time, that in the Makki surahs, normally Allah Ta'ala mentions the fundamentals of deen, and in this surah too, Allah Ta'ala mentions the fundamentals of deen, particularly the aqidah and doctrine of tawheed. Allah Ta'ala commences the surah by saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the mu'mineen have attained success. The word aflaha is from the word falah, and falah in the Arabic language is a very comprehensive word which encompasses every type of success which we can think about. And also it is also a falah entails that protection from all types of misfortune and calamities. True falah and success can only be attained in the hereafter. Since this world is a place of trial and tribulation, and every person in some way or the other has to experience some type of difficulty, although Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with numerous bounties, but yet still in this world, and eventually at the time of death, a person will definitely have to undergo some type of difficulty. So true success can only, and falah can only be attained in the year after. Allah Ta'ala promises that those who are the mu'mineen, they have attained that falah and they have acquired that success. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that who are these mu'mineen who have been promised falah and success. Allah ta'ala mentions seven attributes here. We should try and inculcate these attributes within ourselves so that the promise of falah, which has been promised for the mu'mineen, we can acquire it. The first of those qualities is الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that the mu'mineen who have acquired success are those who have the quality of khushu' in their salat. The word khushu' literally means calmness and tranquility. Technically it will mean that those who in the performance of their salat are tranquil and calm in their body as well as in their heart. Ulama explain, سَاكِنُونَ قَلْبًا وَقَالِبًا, that their hearts are also in a state of calmness and tranquility. Indication is made that full concentration they perform their salat with, they don't allow any types of wrong thoughts besides the thought of Allah Ta'ala to come into their salat in any way. And also it entails that a person should not in any way make any unnecessary movements in his body and in the limbs of his body in salat besides the movements of salat. This is what entails khushu, which means in two things, a person's heart must be in full concentration and also he has to be still and not make unnecessary movements. That is called the khushu in salat. The second quality mentioned are those who turn away from futility, whether in words or in deeds. A person stays away and steers away completely from any type of futile action or word. This is the second quality of the mu'mineen who have been guaranteed success. The third quality are those who pay their zakat, in other words, timeously and also in its required amount, and give it also to the correct recipients. They are those who have been now also promised falah. The fourth quality are those of the mu'mineen who have been promised success is that they are protectful over their private parts. In other words, they don't engage in any type of impermissible or illegal activity in the fulfillment of their desires, which is a natural thing in man, but they don't. They are very protectful over their private parts. Illa ala azwajihim. Besides, with regards to their spouses or their slave women, in that case, there is no blame on them. In other words, if a person fulfills his desires with his wife or the slave women, then there is no blame on him. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ, but those who seek a path besides this in fulfilling their needs, their desires, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, they are the ones who are the transgressors who have crossed the limits laid down by Shariat. So in the context of this verse, that those who seek another way of fulfilling their desires includes every type of impermissible way through which a person fulfills his carnal desires, whether through adultery, whether through masturbation, whether through homosexuality or bestiality or any other way. This is all illegal. Allah Ta'ala says, who does so, they are now amongst the transgressors. The fifth and sixth quality Allah Ta'ala mentions, that the mu'mineen are those who fulfill their trust, which they have been entrusted with. They fulfill it dutifully and completely, and also wa'ahdihim ra'un, and they are also mindful of their pledges which they have made, the promises they have made, whether with Allah Ta'ala or whether with people. They make sure that they fulfill all those pledges and promises. And the seventh quality Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, and those who are protectful over their salat. In other words, they are diligent and they are particular in the performance of their salat on its prescribed times, together with all its requisites and also its etiquettes. That will mean a person is protecting and looking after his salat. A point to understand, to mention here is that Allah Ta'ala mentions seven qualities of the mu'mineen. The first and the last, the first and the seventh one, both are concerning salat, and shows the importance and the great importance that salat has in Islam. So those who now do this, Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, they are the heirs who will inherit Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, in which they will reside therein forever. Allah Ta'ala grant us these qualities. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of his creative powers, through which the great power and wisdom and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be understood. And those and the being who has these qualities, only he can be the ilah, only he can be worthy of being worshipped. Allah Ta'ala mentions the stages of human development. Yesterday in the 17th para, also mention was made of it, the seven stages also of human development. The first one is with regards to Adam alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says, we created insan, particularly Adam alayhi salam is meant, from the extract of clay. And then we made insan from a drop of fluid, a drop of semen. The rest of mankind in the normal system of reproduction, we created man through a drop of fluid in a secure place. That drop of fluid is then put into a secure place, referring to the womb of the female, the mother. And then Allah Ta'ala says, from that drop of fluid, we created a clot of blood. And from that clot of blood, we created a lump of flesh. And from that lump of flesh, we created bones. And then we dressed those bones with flesh. So these are the different stages of human development. And we should remember, these verses were revealed at that time when there was no medical advancements in any way to find out what transpires in the womb of the mother. But Allah Ta'ala already indicated what happens in the different stages through which the fetus gets developed in the womb of the mother. Allah Ta'ala then says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ, then we created him in another creation. So the fetus, prior to this, prior to the ruh and the soul being put into the fetus, it was completely lifeless. And once Allah Ta'ala then puts the ruh and soul into that fetus, Allah Ta'ala describes it as another creation of Allah Ta'ala. Now it is a living being in the womb of the mother. Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ, Allah Ta'ala is most blessed and he is the best of those who create. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that then after that you will die, and after that Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will raise you up again. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions also many of his other creations. A person pondering over these creations, he will realize that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the creator of this, and he is the ilah, is the only ilah to be worshipped, and none else. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the skies. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the rain which comes down from the skies. Allah Ta'ala says, we send down from the skies water in a certain measure, biqadarin, فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and that water we then embedded within the earth. So the sending down of water is Allah Ta'ala's unique divine system of providing regular water supply for His creation, through which the creation benefits. They irrigate their fields and orchards, and they acquire great other benefits from there. But besides that, the question of storing that water, it Allah Ta'ala previously in the 14th para, Allah Ta'ala mentioned also similar verses where Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَازِنِينَ, that وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِخَازِنِينَ, that you, O mankind, are not in a position to store that water. Allah made arrangements, His unique system of storing the water. That water gets stored within the earth in the form of wells and springs and water reservoirs. Allah Ta'ala stores the water on the surface of the earth in the form of lakes and ponds, and also on the mountain peaks in the form of ice and snow, which slowly melt and take on the form of rivers and streams, which then travel vast distances, and the people all along, then they benefit from that water. So Allah Ta'ala made arrangements not only of sending down the rain, but also storing the rain, which was beyond our capacity to do so. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us, وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ ذَهَابٍ بِهِ لَقَادِرُونَ, that we are in a position to completely remove that condition of the water. In other words, Allah Ta'ala could send down the rain and it could seep so much into the earth that you are unable to retrieve it and take it out. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that according to your need, you are able to retrieve that water which goes into the depths of the earth. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of His other great bounty in the form of animals and livestock. Allah Ta'ala says in them, there is la'ibra, there are lessons for you, that we give you to drink from that which is in their bellies, and also many other benefits for you, and from these animals also you eat, and upon these animals you are carried, and also on the ships, which is also the great sign of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, particularly the story of Nuh alayhi salam, which has come at various places in the Quran and Majid, how when they refused to accept the message of Haqq, Allah Ta'ala then sent the floods and the nation was destroyed, and those who were with Nuh alayhi salam, who brought Iman, they went into that ark and then they were saved from this, from any difficulty and calamity befalling them. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that those nations which we had destroyed, أَنْشَأْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ قَرْنًا آخَرِينَ, we raised after them other generations, other nations, indicating that no nation should regard itself to be indispensable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever Allah ta'ala wishes, because of their disobedience and refusing to accept the message of Haqq, Allah ta'ala can destroy them, and in their place Allah ta'ala will raise other nations. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the nations of Thamud and Ad, how they too were destroyed because of their refusing to accept the message of Haqq. Allah says, after them, then too we raised many other nations. And no nation can go forward from its appointed time, nor can it delay it. The appointed time of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, when it comes, it will come. And no nation can cause it to come before its time or delay it from its time. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, Ya ayyuhar rusulu, kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha. Allah Ta'ala, addressing the Anbiya alayhimus salam, says that eat from that which is wholesome and pure and do good actions. Although the address is to the Anbiya alayhimus salam, but elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala gives a similar command to all of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nasu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, for example. And all of mankind are addressed that eat only of that which is halal, which is tayyib, which is wholesome, and do good actions. Immediately after the order to consume halal, Allah Ta'ala says do good actions, which indicate that there is a great and direct impact of halal consumption, which gives the ability and tawfiq to do good actions. Conversely, if we have to now see that haram consumption affects and prevents a person from the ability to do good actions, although he might have sincere intentions, but the effect of haram is such that it will affect a person's ability to do good actions or even prevent him from doing good actions. We should be careful in this regard, that whatever we consume should be only halal and tayyib and wholesome. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some other qualities of the mu'mineen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. That they are always fearful of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, fear for Allah Ta'ala out of the awe of Allah Ta'ala. And they believe in the ayat of Allah Ta'ala, in the signs and the verses of Allah Ta'ala, and they don't ascribe anyone as partners to Allah Ta'ala, and they give from that which they have been given. They spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. In a condition that their hearts are fearful, because they have to be returning to their Rabb. So which means, despite doing good actions, they tremble, their hearts are trembling and in fear, whether that good action also will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Allah ta'ala says, these are the ones who hasten towards all actions which are good, and they are the ones who are the forerunners in doing good actions. Allah ta'ala then reminds us that all Allah ta'ala's commands are within our ability to do. La nukallifu nafsan illa wus'aha. We don't burden any soul, but according to its capacity, no one is burdened with a load more than he can bear. Every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that every person in every generation, in every change conditions, he can make amal and practice upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then reminds us of many of His bounties. Allah Ta'ala says that we have created for you the ears and eyes and hearts. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. But very little do you make shukr. So Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with numerous bounties. Many of them we take them for granted and we forget that these are the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Many a time only when that bounty is taken away in any way, then we realize what a great bounty it was. Allah Ta'ala gives jazaa khair to our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum, that he always reminds us that when last did we make shukr for the eyes Allah Ta'ala blessed us with, the ears which Allah Ta'ala blessed us with, because these are such bounties without which a person cannot, if he finds it difficult to live a normal life, and we should always now make sure that we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for all these great bounties which Allah Ta'ala had blessed us with. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions more details about the absurd and stubborn statements of those who refuse to accept the message of Haqq and refuse to accept that there is life after death. Allah ta'ala gives answers to that and also mentions some details concerning the day of Qiyamah when the trumpet will be blown. There will be no family relationships on that day where one can now seek aid from his family, and nor will anyone ask anyone else for any help. Each person will be nafsi, he will be concerned about himself. Concerning Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala says that those whose scales will not be weighty, will be light. They will be staying in Jahannam forever, and the fire of Jahannam will scorch their faces and they will become completely disfigured. Allah Ta'ala save us from such conditions. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that, do you think that we have created you in futility and that you will not be returning to us? Which means our creation has got a purpose behind it. Allah Ta'ala has created us for a certain purpose, and you must not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us without any purpose and in futility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make this dua, and the message is actually for all of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'soom, he was sinless, but yet Allah ta'ala says, make this dua, وَقُرْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Said, oh my Rabb, forgive me and have mercy on me, because you are the best of those who show mercy. We should constantly recite this dua, asking for the forgiveness and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The next surah is Surah An-Nur, which is a Madani surah. The main subject matter contained in the surah is with regards to those aspects which are connected to chastity and morality in a society, and also some etiquettes with regards to our personal and social and domestic lives. These things have been mentioned here. The first few verses mention concerning the evil of adultery and the punishment which Shariat has prescribed for those who are involved in zina, and it is proved reliably in a court of law what is the punishment. Adultery is such an evil that it completely wrecks the social order of society, and the harm it causes to human values. Perhaps no other sin can cause so much harm to human values and social order as the sin of adultery. And the sin of adultery, because of that, it gives rise to many other social evils which we find dominant today in the world. Allah Ta'ala save us. But it, nowadays, adultery has become what we can say the norm in many communities, and in such a way, rather than the exception, that everybody seems to be involved in this. Family structures is broken down, which on which depend a sound society, and all these evils which now we see around us is actually the product of adultery becoming rampant in society. Allah Ta'ala mentions the evil of it, and also Allah Ta'ala mentions the punishment prescribed for it, that for those who are unmarried, if they are involved in that and it is proven, then they will be dashed 100 times. And those who are now married and yet they still involve themselves in adultery, that is mentioned in the authentic ahadith, that they will be stoned to death. Umar radiallahu anhu once mentioned to the people that don't think that the stoning of death is not mentioned in the Quran and Majid, therefore it is an order which is abrogated. No, we practiced on that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Many people, they deny that to be an order of Shariat because it doesn't appear in the Quran and Majid. The Mufassirin explain it was an order and a verse in the Quran and Majid concerning stoning, but the verse has been abrogated, but not the rule, not the injunction. That is still applicable till today. Wherever capital punishment, although very severe, but wherever it is implemented, we will find that those types of evils for which that capital punishment has been prescribed, we will find that those type of evils hardly exist in those societies. And that is the actual objective which people cannot understand. And at the same time, we should understand that although the punishment, capital punishment, is outwardly very severe, but to prove it in a court of law, Allah, the fuqaha have mentioned many, many conditions which have to be met. It's just not just by hearsay that somebody has now committed adultery, therefore start lashing him. No, it has to be reliably proven in a court of law before capital punishment can be implemented. Allah Ta'ala also mentions the punishment for slander, slandering chaste women. If a person is not able to produce 4 witnesses, then he will be lashed 80 times and his testimony will never be accepted again. Also, the injunctions concerning what is termed as li'an, that if the wife, if the husband accuses the wife of adultery and he says that he has seen her committing adultery and is unable to provide 4 witnesses, then there is a special ruling for that he will then have to 4 times take shahadat that he is from the sadiqeen, from the truthful, and the 5th time he must say that may the curse of Allah be upon him if he is from the liars. And then the wife, the punishment will be averted from her. If she too then makes shahadat and gives testimony 4 times that the husband is from the liars, and the 5th time she must say that may the wrath of Allah Ta'ala be upon her if her husband is speaking the truth. In other words, she is denying and refusing to accept, then the wrath of Allah Ta'ala must descend on her. If this takes place, then the qazi, the judge, will Islamic judge and ruler, will then terminate the marriage between the two, and the two can never then reconcile again as long as they remain on the condition what we call li'an. And both of them are adamant what they are saying is true. One is accusing and the other one is denying, and nobody is now prepared to say that he has given false evidence or what he is saying is correct. In that case, the marriage will be terminated. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala in 10 verses practically covering about 2 rukus, Allah Ta'ala mentions and announces the chastity and the purity of Aisha radiallahu anha. The Munafiqeen in the sixth year of Hijrah had fabricated a story in which they accused Aisha radiallahu anha, na'udhu billah, of falling into adultery, and Allah Ta'ala announces her purity and innocence in the Quran Majeed in not only one or two verses, in about 10 verses covering about 2 rukus. Those who still have doubts concerning the purity and innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha, or say that Aisha radiallahu anha had, na'udhu billah, she had fallen into adultery, they are actually denying the verses of the Quran Majeed, and they have to check their iman. Their iman is at stake because they are denying the verses of the Quran Majeed in which Allah Ta'ala openly and clearly declares her innocence and her purity. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some etiquette that don't enter any person's home without first asking for permission and then making salam to the people of the house. These are all guidelines which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to see to it that a sound and honored society can prevail. Because without adhering to these guidelines, many, many social evils will then come into the fore if we don't follow these guidelines which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. Further, Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions also as a deterrent for falling into the evil of zina that all mu'mineen, males and females have been addressed separately here. Normally, throughout the Quran Majeed, whichever order and injunction Allah Ta'ala gives, He addresses doesn't address the females separately. They are included in the order for the males. But here Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions the order separately, that the mu'mineen, males, should lower their gazes and protect their private parts, and the females have been given a similar order, which indicates the importance of safeguarding one's eyesight, or else it will lead to many other evils. And it is a stepping stone towards zina, and a person will be protected from that if he looks after his gaze. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Further on, many other guidelines are also given, and then Allah Ta'ala mentions Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the Nur, the light of the skies and the earth, which means Allah is the illuminator of the skies and the earth. Allah Ta'ala has through the light of guidance of Allah Ta'ala, people are guided towards the truth. Allah Ta'ala instills into the heart of the mu'mineen, who is to be now guided toward the truth, his nur and his light. Allah Ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran Majeed, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. The person whom Allah Ta'ala extends his heart, Allah instills, he is from a nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now he can see the path of haqq and follow it. Allah Ta'ala mentioned that those who are on guidance and the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says they are such people, لا تلهيهم تجارتو ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. That trade and commerce does not make them unmindful from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and establishing salat and paying the zakat. These are the people we can see that they have the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. This is their quality. On the other side, the example of the people of kufr, the kuffar, their actions are like a mirage, Allah Ta'ala says. A mirage, we all know, particularly in areas, the desert areas, from a distance a person seems to see water, but when going there he finds nothing. This is the condition of the amal of the kuffar, that they think they will be rewarded and given retribution for their actions, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they see that it is completely worthless. Without iman, no actions will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives the other example. Or the kuffar, their example is like a person in a multitude of darkness in the depths of the sea, that he is covered by waves, and that wave is covered by another wave, and that is now covered by dark clouds. There is darkness upon darkness. Even if he stretches his hand out, he is unable to see it. So this is the example of that kafir who although he might be doing some actions which we can outwardly call good, but for him there will be no benefit whatsoever by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many other aspects concerning the same principle concerning the creations of Allah Ta'ala, and how a person, if he ponders over them, he will then get salvation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can see the haqq. And Allah ta'ala then promises the mu'mineen, those who do good actions, Allah will make you vicegerents on the earth, will give you sovereignty on the earth, as He gave to the people before. So sovereignty and rulership is dependent on true iman and doing good actions. Allah ta'ala will again make the Muslims rise and give them sovereignty and rulership on the earth. Further, some etiquettes and guidelines concerning personal privacy is mentioned. Allah ta'ala mentions that even your slaves and your children who are even not of age, but in three occasions, they too should not enter your private quarters without permission. That is before Fajr, and then at the time of siesta, a person when he takes off his extra clothes, and also after Isha. These are the times of privacy for you. Even your children should not be allowed to come without permission in your private quarters. Whereas the children who have already been have reached the age of puberty and they are grown up, they should seek permission at all times. When they want to enter into your private quarters, these rules and regulations have been mentioned here. And further on, the etiquette of a majlis is also mentioned, particularly in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that nobody should leave the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam without permission. Those who ask for permission and then leave, they are the true mu'mineen. Whereas those who have nifaq in their hearts, Allah Ta'ala says, يَتَسَلَّلُونَ مِنْكُمْ لِوَاذَا. They slip away from your gathering without you even thinking that you don't realize that they have slipped away. That is the condition of the munafiqeen. And on that, Surah An-Nur is completed. Thereafter, Surah Al-Furqan, two rukus were mentioned. Inshallah, we will mention about that tomorrow.